I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Following up on our series on the principles of communication, this fits for Thanksgiving this week, and so I want us to see again this chapter and how it applies to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has unfortunately degenerated into a launching point for Christmas shopping. You can't even get to Thanksgiving without it being overshadowed by people being excited for Christmas. Thanksgiving has degenerated into something called Turkey Day, and so forth. Being unthankful is characteristic of the last days. The word unthankful is used twice in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be," and one of the characteristics is unthankful. How does God tolerate that kind of an attitude? Luke 6, 35, "He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Isn't that something? There was a junior high geography class, and the teacher asked the class to list the seven wonders of the world. And of course, you can probably imagine that most votes, according to this little survey, was number one, Egypt's Great Pyramids, India's Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and China's Great Wall. And while the teacher was gathering the votes, she noticed that one student, a quiet little girl, hadn't turned in her paper yet, and so she went up to her and asked her if she was having trouble making up her list. The little girl replied, "Yes, I am having a little bit of trouble." She couldn't quite make up her mind because there were so many, she said. So the teacher said, "Well, let's see what you have. Tell the class what you have, and let's see if we can help." The girl hesitated, and then she began to read. "I think the seven wonders of the world are, number one, to be able to taste. Number two, to be able to see. Three, to be able to hear. Number four, to think." And then she hesitated a little, and then she added, "And to be able to speak, to be able to sing, and to be able to love." And there was silence in the room. It's interesting, as we look at what we give God thanks for, we don't think of the insignificant things. It's so easy to look at what man has done as the wonders of the world and overlook the seemingly little things that God has given to us, and we consider those things merely as ordinary. But God's ordinary blessings are truly wonderful. Amen. Solomon's temple would have been considered one of the wonders of the world in his day. When you know anything about his temple, it was a wonderful, magnificent building. But long before it was built, David gives thanks to God in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Look at verse 13. "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." For what was he giving thanks? What was David's life's desire? If you go back to chapter 28 and look at verse 2, his desire was to build this temple. And yet God would not allow David himself to build this temple because he was a man of war and he shed blood. Chapter 28 and verse 3. He was told that his son would do the building. Look at verse 6 of chapter 28. "And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build me a house and my courts." And instead of David becoming bitter, he gives three things to Solomon that I want to quickly just give you. He gives him, first of all, in chapter 28, verses 11 to 19, he gives him the pattern for how this building is to be, or may we say the blueprints. In verses 20 to 21 of chapter 28, he gives him encouragement. And then in chapter 29, Verses 2 to 5, he actually gives him the materials with which to build this building. Let's start with chapter 21, 29 and verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of silver, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. There you look at verse 2, and you see what he had prepared. Go back to chapter 22 of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, where we see exactly how much had been prepared by David for this tremendous wonder of the world. Chapter 22 and verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. One talent is 75 pounds. Therefore, that is 3,750 tons of gold. You know what that's worth today? $163 billion at least. And then it goes on to say, and 1,000,000 talents of silver, that's 37,500 tons of silver. That today is worth $32.5 billion. Now go back to chapter 29, and you'll note in verses 3 to 4 what David pledges to give personally. You see, that which has been listed so far is what he has prepared from spoils of war and so forth. That's Israel's or Judah's. Now he's going to give what he himself owns, and what he pledges to give personally in verses 3 to 4 is 110 tons of gold. That's $5 billion worth. 260 tons of silver. That's $226 million. I didn't read the last part of verse 5, so go with me there. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? So David says, this is what I have prepared, and this is what I'm giving out of my own. Now, who is willing? Who else is willing? So he gives the invitation, and I want you to note the phrase, to consecrate his service, which literally means to fill his hand. And he uses the word willing. That word willing, we talked about last week. It occurs 7 times in this chapter here. Again in verses 6, 9, 14, and 17. Willing. No one is coerced. They respond to the invitation of their own free will. And their motive is devotion to God. And then we read verses 6 to 8. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. That's 190 tons of gold. That's $8.2 billion. 10,000 drams, it has the 10,000 drams there, and of silver 10,000 talents, that's 375 tons, that's $325 million worth. And of brass, 18,000 talents, that's 675 tons of brass. And 100,000 talents of iron, that's 3,750 tons of iron. That doesn't even include the precious stone. So the total value of the gold and the silver and everything that's given here is over $206 billion. Verse Verse 8, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Now, we highlight the amount. You can almost hear the oohs and the ahs, you know, when you read these amounts and the billions and billions of dollars. We highlight the amount. God highlights the heart. It's like, as I made reference to last week, the widow woman who was giving in the temple. All the rich men casting all their out of their abundance into the treasury, and she with two little mites, less than a penny. Talking about billions of dollars, less than a penny. And Jesus makes this appraisal. He said, she has cast in more than all they put together. God highlights the heart. We highlight the amount. Then verse 9 is what we noted last week is the result. When people give willingly, the people rejoiced. For that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Willing givers experience great joy. So now what does David do next? You would expect him now to thank the people. Thank you for your wonderful offerings. Instead, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. He instead blesses the Lord. Blessing is something that is generally transmitted from the greater to the lesser. We say, God bless America. Who's greater, God or America? God is. And so the greater is always to the lesser, we typically think, when you talk about blessing. But when blessing is from the lesser to the greater, it is an acknowledgement that he possesses the power for my abundant living. It is giving God the credit for what I have. And that is what is lacking in our nation. We keep asking God to bless America, but America, why aren't you blessing God? It is giving God the credit. And that's truly what I believe our founders designed when they said, let's have this day of thanksgiving, where we acknowledge to God that he is the giver and we bless him for what he has done for us. So blessing him is a way of expressing thanks and praise to him for giving to me out of his abundance. And so the blessing expressed is in verses 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That could be said today by our nation's leaders when you think about how God has blessed our nation. David had prepared much for building God's house. Then he saw how all the people gave. But instead of swelling up with pride, he swells up with gratitude. And that's when we get to verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. You go back to verse 2, and David had prepared with all his might, and yet he gives the credit, he gives the thanks to God Almighty. And so the essence of David's thanksgiving is seen in two things. Number one, in the acknowledgement of the giver. We find this in verses 14 to 16. Look how he acknowledges the giver. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Isn't this interesting? That David is giving God the credit that he is even able to offer with a willing heart. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all of our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. People say that they are thankful. And you'll hear it this week. I comment about this every Thanksgiving. How people say, and you'll go around the table and say, well, I'm thankful for this. Well, I'm thankful for this. Stop. To whom are you thankful? This is called Thanksgiving. It's not thankful week. It's thanksgiving. It's giving thanks. To whom do you give thanks then? There was a post office worker whose job it was to process all the mail that had addresses that couldn't be read. And so one day a letter came addressed, and the handwriting was shaky, and it was addressed to God with no actual address. So this post office worker thought that he should open it up and see what it's about. Here's what the letter read. Dear God, I am an 83-year-old widow living on a very small pension. Yesterday someone stole my purse. It had $100 in it, which was all the money I had until my next pension check. This next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I have invited two of my friends over for dinner. Without that money, I have nothing to buy food with. I have no family to turn to, and you are my only hope. Can you please help? Sincerely, Edna. Well, the postal worker was touched, and so he showed the letter to all the other workers in the office, and each one dug into their wallets, came up with $96. They put it in the envelope and sent it to the woman. And the rest of the day, the workers all felt a warm glow thinking of Edna and the Thanksgiving she was going to be able to enjoy with her friends. A few days after Thanksgiving, another letter arrived from the same old lady with the same shaky handwriting addressed to God. So all the workers gathered around while the letter was opened. It read, Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your gift of love, I was able to fix a glorious dinner for my friends. We had a very nice day, and I told my friends of your wonderful gift. By the way, there was $4 missing. I think it must have been those dirty crooks at the post office. With much thanks, Edna. Now, I tell you that joke because sometimes we think of God like she thought of the crooks at the post office, as if our blessings come from a person. Not David. Who's the giver? God is the giver. David acknowledges that in verses 11 and 12, and then in verses 14 to 16. In verse 14, David takes no pride in giving willingly. Why? Because, first of all, he acknowledged the source of our possessions. Note verse 12, all things come of thee. Verse 14, cometh of thine hand. Or actually verses 14 and 16 respectively. What we have comes from God. Not of our own ingenuity. That which we fill our hands with. The word consecrate, back in verse 5, actually comes from God's hand. Verse 16. What I fill my hand with, verse 5, comes of thine hand, verse 16. So what we give to God was his to start with. So what do you have to boast about? When you realize that everything you have, you receive from him. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? There is no one here today who has anything that you did not receive. So he goes on to say, now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And this verse in James 1, it's verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So David was willing to acknowledge. He took no pride in giving willingly because he was able to acknowledge the source of our possessions. Secondly, he was able to acknowledge the owner of our possessions. Look back at verse 11. Of thine own have we given thee. At the end of verse 14 as well. Verse 16, all is thine own. What we have belongs to God. He owns all from which we derive our wealth. So David takes no pride in giving willingly because he acknowledges the source of our possessions, the owner of our possessions, and then the time of our possessions. How much time are you going to have with what you possess? Verse 15, we are strangers, sojourners. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. The time is limited, folks, in being able to give. Job put it this way, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Paul writes this to Timothy, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And so, we acknowledge the time of our possessions. David is not just thankful he has something to give. David is thankful that he is willing, to give. Folks, thanksgiving is indeed giving thanks to God for what he has given us. Here, however, David gives thanks to God for what he, David, is able to give him. True giving of thanks is not for what we have. True giving of thanks is for what we have to give. If you take David as a pattern. And I believe we could say that God doesn't give us things to enjoy on ourselves, but to use for him. He has given us freedom in America. How are we going to use it? Faith promise missions giving. Thank God for that which he blesses you with so that you can give to missions. So you get a raise at your job and you say, thank you, Lord. If you spend that on yourself, you are merely giving thanks and then you move on. But thanksgiving, think of the word thanksgiving. Is that in the past tense? Is it in the future tense? It's always present. So thanksgiving is in the present tense. It's continuous action. It is done throughout the year. Thanksgiving is using that raise for him. So we wrongly limit thanksgiving to saying thank you for a favor that's been received. But thanksgiving, folks, is not just a spoken word. Thanksgiving is a life that is lived. In fact, you could say that thanksgiving is thanks living. Thanksgiving is taking what God has given to you and using it for him. Let's take that little girl's seven wonders that she talked about. The things for which we can thank God and how we can use it for him. She talked about being able to taste. How about Psalm 34:8? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The ability to see. Look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. The ability to hear. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. The ability to think. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And every lost person ought to be able to thank God that you can think and reason with him together and realize, you know what? My sin is dirty black, but God's son shed his blood and he can cleanse me from all my sin. The ability to speak. Pray for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You see how each of these is being used for God's glory, all the blessings he's given us. What about the ability to sing? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the ability to love. Instead of loving the world, this world, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And so I repeat what David says in verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. So the essence of David's giving thanks to God is seen in his acknowledgement of the giver, and number two, in the reflection of the giver. Verses 17, 18, and 19. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. David is not arrogant for being able to give willingly. Why? Because anytime you are willingly giving to God, it is simply a reflection of God who himself gives willingly to us. You see, God has pleasure in uprightness, verse 17. Why? Because he is holy, and when we give with an upright heart, it is a reflection of him. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Willing giving then comes from an upright heart. And then notice that little phrase in verse 18, keep this forever in the imagination. This is an admission by David that this easily slips away. So I repeat verse 13, now therefore our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Worship, sacrifice, and then feasting accompanies thanksgiving. Does that sound familiar? Look at verses 20 and following. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. Folks, as you feast this week, may we feast with God, giving God the praise and giving God the glory. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. Whereas David had blessed the Lord in verse 10, now in verse 20 he directs the congregation to do the same thing. And so I repeat verse 13 again. Now therefore our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. The essence of thanksgiving is more than just saying thank you. It is more than just being thankful. It is acknowledging the giver. It is reflecting the giver. Let us remember that this year.